Let me begin this review with a somber reminder. There are only 4 Joy Toys in all of Night City. If you think footpaths in a park show wear and tear from holiday weekends, imagine that shit. We're having a hard enough time with handshakes and getting a PS5. Can you imagine that kind of line? Just elbow bumping your best friend Mike on his way into the door. And you're like, man, make sure to use that Purell that's on my counter when you get done. That's going to stick with me for a while. So anyway, this is a review for Cyberpunk. It's all the versions, 1.5, 1.4, PS4, all the way up to the Xbox Series X and the PS5. If you like the video, you can give it a thumbs up. If you dislike it, you can give it a thumbs down, though. I don't know why you would, because it's a free video. You can just leave. But I know a lot of you like to do that. Or you can hit the notification bell and subscribe to me and get, obviously, incredibly professional videos from me consistently. So let's get to it. CD Projekt Red announced in 2012... Actually, they didn't really announce. They just flashed up a title screen. But that was enough for a lot of gamers to just digital bear their lives into hibernation until this came out. And they just had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and delayed longer and wait. And then finally it comes out after one of the worst review periods ever. If your car lights on fire 5 times prior to the destination, I think it's probably not a very good car. But we'll just have to see. Let's get to it and let's talk about graphics. This is the beer goggles of games. 2077 Cyberpunk looks amazing at times and absolutely like shit at other times. This is a title that will have you super impressed momentarily. You'll see saturated neon walls of lights and people with all these colorful outfits interspersed with zombie shuffles of people who've spent so much time in a virtual world. They reflect that by virtually being non-existent in the one you're playing in. It's got its issues, and we'll talk about those in a second, but I think one of them is not the city's design. That age of the city is really recreated with this eye towards that porous and almost maze-like way in which Night City has been set down from the original fiction and the multiple cultures that have gone through it and reflected on it. If I was writing some kind of tourist guide for this, I'd say puzzling at first impression, fascinating on second glance, and frustrating on third pass, because it can be that as you're playing the game and coming to grips with things, because this is like a real city. It's consistent travel that slowly burns in these particular paths of movement and convenience for the game player. You're going to find yourself following these weird shortcuts, but unlike a lot of other games, it's not just driving your car like a friggin' maniac off the cliff to get to a spot faster. Many times, there's this feeling of timeless and use in the game world, where there's might be a small section that you can go around something. Like someone else looked at the same spot and was like, hey, you know what? I'll be the maniac, and took off, and you get to follow them. I also noticed right away, this game just doesn't have that artistically and spiritually constipated open world design that so many other games have, where they feel a little flattened down, like their edges are off, and they're always trying to protect the player a little bit. Here, there's twists and turns, and sometimes you're just going to get lost, and sometimes you're not going to find the shortcut you expected. There's this geometric complexity in Night City that sprawls out in front of you. It's underpaths and overwalks and broad swaths in one moment, and parks to narrow alleyways in the next, and you don't know what's in the shadows. It could just be a shortcut. It could be a ladder, or maybe some underhanded dealing, or maybe a bad guy or a weapon. That's Night City. But this is also Night City. And this is Night City. And this is you in Night City as well. And this is me and you in Night City. Just getting absolutely lost at first. It takes a while to get accustomed to the way the game plays. There is a detail to this that feels like the wilted flower design philosophy, where the cultures and the time and the precepts overlap in this textured way, and you have the outsides being a certain feeling and a certain newness, and as you end up going deeper and deeper into some of these places, you start to see that wilt. And a character even says that in the game. They say, what was once shining steel is now rust. And I think while, like most games, not every place is interesting, but sometimes you'll find this occasional building that lets you climb up into the higher locations, and there's catwalks and entire food sections. And while there aren't a ton of those, it's that feeling of a city and its nooks and crannies and secrets that defines the exploration that's so enjoyable in Night City most of the time. A lot of other games may get this part wrong, but that's one place where I think Cyberpunk nails it. It is the city design. That's where it counts. Speaking of counting, there are 2 types of NPCs in this game. Those that someone cared what they look like, and then the visual mess of character generator monsters gone wrong for everybody else. The main PCs, they look incredible. Any of those that give you a story note or engage in the stories or talk to you for the most part or go on quests, they look awesome. There's a rendition of this future when everybody figures out that stapling a friggin' an Elgato capture card to their faces, somehow going to make their aim better. But you get that impression of extravagance, like everybody's one-upping everybody else's attempts at looking cooler, looking better. You'll see characters with foil on their faces where their skin's been flayed off. And you'll see utilitarian ones where the characters have changed and outfitted themselves with a tool. But it's not something that's a one-off. It's not like you walk up to the blacksmith in a game and it's just that one character who has it. It's everybody within Night City and all of the NPCs that are walking around. But yes, it's true, especially for faces. Most of them look like hammered shit. If Smooth Sailing was the name of a plastic surgery location, these fuckers never went there. The side NPCs are mostly straight up nasty. And when they come out of a generator that I'm assuming is spawning them somewhere and they show up, you can get a character that looks somewhat normal or you can get a fucking freak factory. It's crazy. It's almost like they ended up removing the character generation rules that you have when you create the character and just let them go wild in the game. And sometimes you'll get those characters that when you see them, you're like, damn, thank God it's called Night City. And yet, like a lot of things in Cyberpunk, the very next moment could be awesome. For example, you jump into combat and you'll have characters who will sprint into a room and trip over their friends in that chaotic bit of battle that feels so awesome. Or these zip, 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 zip kind of characters. They're biologically and mechanically advanced altered soldiers and they're flickety fast and they're zigzagging all around you during combat. That looks at times so good. Car damage in animation, not so good. The detail's not too bad, but the damage in particular, even with the one-up patch, the 1.5, where they were sort of like, we're going to one-up everything that's in the game so far, it did seem to increase the damage a little bit, but this thing is, it doesn't even hold up to games 5-6 years ago. Some games are a little bit better, some games are worse, but if you compare it to something like GTA, you're going to be woefully unhappy. And that's not only the end of the unhappiness, there are a lot of other places. First of all, I gotta salute them. Best pop-in of 2020. Literally, best pop-in. They should have a check mark that says pop-in or more pop-in. You can't turn it off. You can just make it more advanced or more and more advanced. It is terrible. It is also replete with insanely low detail textures everywhere. Now, low detail textures aren't too surprising. You'll see them used a lot of times in places where people don't go in games to sort of get away with a bit more texture budget. But here, you definitely notice them in a lot of locations, and it can look rough even on the most advanced PC. But how does it run? Because that's what's going to matter. First, the base consoles. As I told you guys in Twitter, they're unacceptable. Even with the patch, they did jump up. You still see 22 FPS. I've seen 20 and 19 on my frame counter in super busy environments. It's unacceptable. You shouldn't reward them for it. I've already stated those are a never touch. However, if you go get it, just be aware you're going to be playing a game called 77. Next up, let's talk about PS5, Xbox. We'll talk a little bit about the Pro and the Xbox X as well. Both of those do a much better job with the FPS. They're locked at 30. There is some bumps there, but I would say it's a giant leap up from the base consoles. Now, when you come to the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, Series X has a quality mode and an FPS mode. The FPS mode did increase a great deal with the new patch, but I would still say that's something on you for you to decide because it is a variable FPS. On the PS5, there isn't a variable switch that I could find even after the 1.5. They just have their normal mode and it does very well sticking overall to that 60 FPS. Now let's talk about the PC. So here the PC is middling. It's right in the middle. Now I get it. A ton of you guys have had issues with the game. That's the way it works, unfortunately. Fortunately for PC titles in particular, and I know a boatload of people. I can only tell you what my experience was with the i7 and the 2080 Ti. If you want ray tracing on, you have to use DLSS regardless. You're going to get less than 30 FPS if you don't have it and you're trying to do 4K, even if you start turning things down. However, the DLSS is not so bad here. You can adjust that. There's multiple different settings all the way down to performance extreme, which uses a pretty low sample rate, but hey, you know what? You get a playable frame rate. At this time, unless something is up with the resolution scaling that I can't figure out, it's flat out broken. Also, HDR still seems completely off here. I'd probably turn it off. When you look at this title, though, it's one of those games that as you're playing it, you can be shocked by the neon and just stoked to see another new unique character and what they're doing. But then the NPCs end up walking through the sky or jetting off into the sky or falling through the ground or a car's in the ground. And there's all these technical bugs, many of which I'll talk in the gameplay, that really can ruin it. In fact, a single drive, if it's not just the pop-in, which is atrocious, it's all of the different little graphical anomalies that occur. And indeed, With the 1.5 patch, people have been reporting a lot of weird graphical anomalies. Mine was this. That's right. The game suddenly switched to everybody's gone to the Rapture, and NPCs completely disappeared, which I'll talk about more in the gameplay section. Next up, sound, music, and voice. And we're going to cover sound first because even with a 1.5 system, this is completely still borked. The game has difficulty tracking if a character's in front of you 100 feet or 10 feet, while right and left directional positioning is fine. As well as vertical does have some issues with figuring out exactly where that audio is coming to you. It's not the best 3D audio, but I can deal with that. It's the fact that it actually applies the wrong processing and stuff to those farther away characters right in front of you. Now, this is known. It's something that they've already patched some in 1.5. They're well aware of it. It's not something that's not happening. So they will hopefully continue to work on it in January and February. It did clean up some of that. However, the 1.5 patch was also there to clean up a lot of explosions occurring off screen and not playing sound. And I was really stoked because I thought 1.5 fixed it, but guess what? Nope. Every time you think something's fixed in this game, it's not. Something is added. Unfortunately, with here, it's just continually broken. I will be playing, everything will be fine for quite a while, and then I'll notice debris or something fly past me, and I'll look around and find out that a car blew up 1 foot from me. And in fact, once or twice, it's actually damaged me. It was so close, and no sound actually played. And the reason why this is so frustrating is because other than the Steven Seagal wet cat fart sound of the silencers when you put a silencer on a gun where it suddenly is like, it sounds like a squirt gun, a really tight squirt gun. Here, the gun sounds I actually enjoy. I think they're pretty good. They're not amazing, but they've got good processing. And when you go around a corner and you find two gang members roughing somebody up and you go loud, that is such an amazing cacophony of sound. You just flick that trigger and you go, bah, 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 and you just start taking people out. You can hear the fire licking off of them when they're dead on the ground and you're reloading and everything's silent. And you're just like, that was an awesome moment. And then you end up exploding because the car behind you was on fire and you couldn't hear it because of the 3D effects being screwed up. That's the problem with the game. Those kind of things happen a lot. And depending on how much they happen and depending on how you play the game up close or far away, you can hear these or notice these bugs even more. It just all depends. And that's why I cannot wait for them to patch this up some more, because it really needs some work. Speaking of work and somebody who put it in, music. Cyberpunk in movies and novels and even in the role-playing game is this genre where music is more celebrated as an actual fixture in that fiction than I think a lot of others. If the out-of-tune piano and the wind are hallmarks of Western movies, then assuredly punk industrial and thrashing layered techno tracks must be at least a slight theme for cyberpunk. And it is reflected so many times here, that first rebellious feel of discordance you get when you're listening to Resodrone's Kill the Messenger. It's got overmixed sonic layers in there in spades. It's got a crunched down layer offering almost disturbing amounts of complexity if you listen to it multiple times. There's also Scavenger Hunt overlaying off-key repetitive synth and sidechaining that lets this shrill, almost horror movie-like effect punch in over the top of everything. And just when you think, okay, I got an idea of what's going to be offered, without warning, this drops into cerebral layers during There's Going to Be a Parade that sits into that back of your mind that hears it. And when you do, you get this visualization of huge draw distances and neon cityscapes out in front of you. And that works. As we all know, though, just because you put in the work doesn't mean everybody's going to respect it. And I can certainly see that popping off here, especially when you jump in. There's expected and unexpected music that plays off here, and it pushes it a bit in that soulless future feeling that you get. And sometimes even up-tempo music in a club or patriotic battle music that's got this repetitive tone to it that at first sounds woefully out of place. However, from the next moment on to the next moment to the next moment, when you start to hear it, there's that click in your mind and you're like, it's go time. I think a good soundtrack is when a number of the genres, hell, some of the tracks I'm just not a huge fan of, and yet every single one of them fits the game like a key into a lock. It offers a bit of tangible emotion during a discussion with Silverhand, or this odd feeling of home is anywhere you lay your hat with when you kick it back with some nomads in the desert. Excellent music from start to finish. Even if, like I said, I wasn't incredibly in love with some of the genres, it doesn't matter. Man, did it fit the world. And fitting the world is important for voice as well. So let's get to it. This is a bit more hit and miss, but I want to describe why, because I don't think it's going to fit with a lot of other people. I think alternating versions of the female and male character for V has worked for me. I didn't dislike those characters themselves. I think one thing to remember is Cyberpunk isn't Pride and Prejudice. It's not that kind of game. The bleakness and that breathy tiredness and lethargy that's delivered by both of them is fine for me. But I do understand why people would sort of step away from it, not like a bit of the monotone delivery that you get even during emotional setups in this game. Also, Keanu is in the game a lot, and that's cool because it's Keanu, and lending that gravitas is awesome to a game. It's also pretty crappy though, because if any actors had someone shove a piece of wood under his emotional gas pedal, it's Keanu. He's the only actor I've ever seen who seems afraid to scream like he holds the power to rend universes if he does. And then when you add in the way V talks and you get them together, a lot of times it's like two people just whisper battling their way through a discussion. It's a little bit off, and I can see why people disliked it. I was fine, but I get it. And speaking of getting it, let's get to gameplay and a bit about the story. Also, what makes a good game? Is it a game that's fun all the time? Or a game that's amazing fun sometimes? A game that's pretty fun but not very long? A very fun game that's super short in length? What about all of them if they have technical issues? How's presentation and plot and story and exploration, combat, continued immersion all impacted by technical issues and cut content? That's why we're here with gameplay and story, and to add a little bit of context for any issues that I had. Cyberpunk 2077. It starts with you choosing one of three life paths. You can do the corpo, he's raised and rinsed in the milk of the city and its politics, or you can go with the nomad, leaving your life in the tribe and coming to see if the city can offer you a little bit more ducats than the wastes. Or you can do the street kid, he's the bottom of the rung, the child raised on the waste of the city, and you're supposed to be a little bit street smart. Think of a gun-toting Scrappy-Doo. These life paths affect how the starting of the story plays out and how you get into the main story proper. However, they do only barely occasionally add extra statements that you can make in conversations after that. Be aware that they do not impact the quests overall as much as you would expect. They do somewhat, but nowhere near, I think, what a lot of people assumed those life paths would do. Now, the game introduces you to the general plot fairly quickly. It throws you into a series of missions and side activities with this small group of like-minded mercenaries, all with light in their eyes that's probably coming from the reflection of somebody else's money in a mirror. However, none of you are too smart, and things go pretty sideways right away. This is a mostly open world shooter with some RPG elements borrowed from that Cyberpunk pen and paper game. 2077 has you working through the city, earning street cred to unlock missions and get the notice of those around you as you fight to get revenge on those that wrongs your group at the starting, as well as level yourself up, adding more and more powerful equipment and weapons to your armory. Now, attributes for your character are the main body's reflection of training and time, and you get points when you level these up. You get body, reflexes, technical ability, intelligence, and coolness. They all affect different elements of the game's actions in different ways and have various skill trees within them. For instance, Athletics, Annihilation, and Street Brawler are all under the body attribute, and each has a large number of skills under each one of those trees. This reflects that pen and paper heritage of Cyberpunk, as well as the skills themselves. They're a mix of larger percentage jumps in damage or chances to do critical damage, interspersed with a couple true new skills like double jump and others. One slight oddity here is that the more points you put into the skill trees, you also go up in an overall point layer that gives you other bonuses, and they do a bit of overlapping with the skills that you buy, which can feel a tiny bit redundant. And of course, you can mix and match just like any game, sword and cyber, or sit back and shoot somebody's head off with a 50 caliber. Combat is visceral, if short-lived. I think weapons have a really good feeling of recoil, probably some of the best in an RPG-style game like this. And if you like crunch, there's a lot of stats. It's not Outer Worlds kind of stats, but you can jump in there and see what mods across the different weapons are adjusting what. Sadly, this is when we start getting into cut content. For example, the blades that you put on your arm, you can no longer climb around levels, and the monofilament whip seems to have a couple less skills with it. When it comes to the guns and the different weapons, there's tons, everything from shotguns to SMGs and swords. They're all meted out via uncommon, common, epic, legendary, that kind of thing, and you can get them from different quests as well as build them on your own if you buy the blueprints. At first, especially with the mixture of weapons and various skills, it can seem actually a bit cumbersome with each attribute having those three skill trees behind it in addition to its own skill level bonus. However, I think as you continue on, you'll pretty much figure out what skills will and won't work. If you're not the best shot, it really doesn't matter because you can get an excellent weapon from the quests, or you can just build one, or you can go and buy one and turn everybody's head into an exploding fruit sack. It really doesn't end up hurting you regardless of what weapon you have or skill you have. There's always something there that will let you do damage. For example, you can hack somebody and freeze them in place and then kill them and not have to worry about your aim very much because you can just walk up to them as they're blind. And speaking of walking and running and double jumping, the control with the controller and the mouse and keyboard works fine, though the controller always felt a bit off for me, no matter what I set it on. I never got it just perfect, though I think the third-person driving is probably better with the gamepad. When it comes to the mouse and keyboard, it works fine. It's not necessarily super reactive, but I didn't have any issues with it. And as you're working your way through the various different battles, it feels pretty rock solid. Another thing that's rock solid is their ability to make you look like a complete jackass if you want the best armor. I was sporting athletic shoes, a torn dress, a bloody t-shirt, and an anime-styled hat to get the best armor. That's not unheard of. There are going to be multiple times where you're going to be running around just looking like an absolute fool. When it comes to the various different weapons and armor, of course, they can all be upgraded if they have a slot for it, and there's different open-colored slots for different particular items that you get that you can buy from vendors or indeed create on your own. Those can also adjust different things like hacking skills if you put those augments on your body, which has different sections that you can augment as well. However, and this all sounds good, I had a number of issues with how Cyberpunk really handled role-playing. Not role-playing, R-O-L-L, which are the mechanics of it all, because I think other than we know that there are a couple errors apparently on the way some guns end up overlapping or armor overlappings and a couple skills that seem like their numbers might be slightly off, but the actual role-playing itself, regardless of what life path you choose, a lot of the quests play out pretty much the same. It's mostly nothing more than small snippets in the game dialogue that changes. Now, in fact, the skills you just leveled up and just learned, they have a much higher degree of showing up in a lot of the convos. And the life path you spent years working on doesn't, which just felt really weird to me. And I get it. Some people won't be bothered by that. Missions stylistically can be done in the typical three ways, stealth, full out, or mixed. I think this is a trope that just needs to die. Hey, you can go about this combat any way you like. What game can't you? There's actually very few games out there anymore that require you to go one particular way, unless it's a Dark Souls style game or a game where there's some kind of very particular narrative slant or focus about the character's weakness in a particular element. Most games do allow you to do all those things. And here, they're not the best. For instance, the stealth ability works and it works pretty well. Unfortunately, the AI at times will just see you through walls regardless, even if they're 200 feet away. This is an AI issue I'll talk about later. Also, some of the attributes really don't end up feeling like they affect the role playing. You'll sometimes see an attribute symbol like the peace sign for coolness pop up. And certainly if you put a bunch of points in some, you will occasionally see that moment where you can, let's say, get past a battle without fighting. However, it didn't show up as much as I would hoped, regardless of the skill level. It did show up again. However, the big thing here is the lack of interactivity. If you think of interactivity between world and the normal NPCs, the main NPCs and the player, everybody should interact at least one or two levels above or below them. They're sort of like spinning platters and they catch on to the traction below them. For example, the world is built and the NPCs may move about the world with their quest systems or their life systems and sit and feed the pigeons or play a guitar, which you do see occasionally in this game. However, it's always static. Nothing in the game is actually dynamic. Nothing actually responds to you. And this is a game that continually tells you you're fighting for the everyday man. It continually says the everyday man is noticing what you're doing. And yet when you walk around, the everyday man actually doesn't notice what you're doing. They don't look at you when you actually talk to them. And half of the time, their lips don't even sync up. Now you may look at these and be like, huh, those could be bugs. They could be. But you're talking about various systems piled up on top of one another that impacts the immersion greatly. A lot of people are fine with this. They don't care if the characters or the worlds move around them or adjust at all. But when it comes to a role-playing game, I got to admit, I do. And what was added to this, especially playing through it with different characters a little bit, is that there's cut content for at least three characters' stories in this game. They sort of just brutally disappear. It's like hanging out with a friend at a cool party and then leaving that fucker on the couch and going and heading to the pool with the hot chicks. And you can just feel it boom, boom, boom as those guys go away. And that rock strata that I talked about, that feeling of all of these things interacting, just doesn't continue. And that's also because of the bugs. Now, we can sit here and discuss interrupted entertainment for years and the sciences behind it, but for a lot of people, playing a game is going to be impacted by a bug. For example, you may be going on a quest, and because a certain quest doesn't actually trigger, you may be more worried about that and miss something else that's going on in the game world. That's just one of 100,000 different things that can happen. And unfortunately, this game is a buggy fucking mess. To give you an example, this game is actually buggier than Assassin's Creed Unity, which I honestly did not think would be humanly possible. It is everywhere. Cyberpunk's consistent issues really do hinder any momentary beat or plot that you may want to engage in, or can. Reloads, crashes, the feeling of these awesome tense moments in a car chase, and then just dying because the AI doesn't work right, crashes, and kills themselves. That construct of amazing and nuanced battle that occurs actually falls completely apart when you realize there are ways to defeat the enemy quite easily without dying at all. Or the excellent storytelling presentation that at least I like. Yeah, the voices are messed up on mixing sometimes. Characters disappear during cutscenes, more during reloads, consistent glitches, and sometimes their actual mixing on the voices is crazy. One second they're screaming, the next second they are. Again, that has to do with cut content, most likely, where they just decided we need to get this game out, so you should be able to do what you need to do to get to the end. But I, for one, absolutely notice something's going on. It affects what you're playing, not just what you thought you might be playing. For example, switching out weapons. Some weapons will just auto-fire, which I gotta say is awesome when you're trying to sneak. It'll just randomly happen. I took that gun and I put it into the actual inventory inside of my shop, came back later, grabbed it again, switched to it, boom, auto-fire. This kind of stuff continues with patch 105, where we now see some kind of thing that I showed you earlier, where the NPCs just disappear. Gone. Gone. The only way to get them back was to go do a save game that was many hours back, and I'm not even sure that absolutely fixed it. Also, when you make the character and you start making the role themselves and you decide what you want to look like, I was really surprised by the lackluster option that you have. You don't actually have that many options to look in any way unique in a world that's actually unique. You can adjust it with the armors a little bit, but it was surprising that there weren't that many options for the various different looks that you wanted to play or ended up looking like at any one particular time. You might run through a place and notice that there's actually no gang affiliation ranking really at all, meaning you can mow down a bunch of people and the very next moment they're selling you stuff as if nothing actually happened. Cops will stop reacting to you if you jump into any narrative. So if you're being chased, just find a quest narrative, hit talk, and the cops just walk away. Speaking of walking away, everybody walked away from the motorbike dealer as well because nobody but you drives motorbikes in the entire game. It's odd. There's this static funhouse that Cyberpunk portrayed as alive, and when we got it, almost nothing in the game other than the major branches is actually very dynamic. Now, I get that. You may really like the role-playing that's here, but for me, as somebody who wanted a role-playing game, this is far, far away from anything that I really was enjoying playing as different characters. I jumped into the combat and that was fine, but for a role-playing game, that's only one half of the story. And while I enjoyed some of the story, there were enough issues with the bugs that it was a disaster at times just to work through it. I guess in a way I'm happy I didn't go into this super emotional or unemotional. I just went in. I'm a fan of Michael's and the original Cyberpunk game and how it got started, but I didn't really end up feeling like this is going to be the greatest or the worst. In fact, it was more just looking at it sort of analytically. I like the idea. I think a rare is the Cyberpunk style game that we get, and I really wanted more from it. I wanted more from a lot of it. You know, there's a couple missions there that I really liked. I think their missions are actually pretty good in this game, but when it comes to their delivery and how everything works in between, especially a couple hours in, it really started to be bothersome. And I think when you look at reduction in scope, it's tremendous here. It is tremendous, and it's actually noticeable even if you didn't know there was a reduction in scope. You would still look at some things and be like, why does this work in this way? Why can't I do this? Why is there no reputation systems? Why do cops act like this? Because for a lot of players, they may want to be that homicidal maniac going out there fixing things by the end of their gun. That's okay. But if they're playing and there's really no reward for, let's say, getting away from the police officers, and there's really no way in which that pays off, that is a huge gap for that kind of player. Also, man, that HUD is terrible, especially for comparing weapons. What in the hell is going on there? It doesn't even get the right numbers if you have a silencer on. It doesn't really indicate the numbers of what it is at a basic level. So you have to take the silencer off and do that comparison that way. This 1.5 patch did fix a lot of stuff. It improved the graphics on multiple different areas, but a lot of those issues still remain. And what we're looking at is this kind of situation where if you engage with the game and you start getting a lot of these issues, it can push you back and push that immersion back. You won't notice these amazing story bits that some people or other people notice. For instance, a ton of people had a particular bug on a particular story in this game. I didn't. So I got through that mission and actually really enjoyed it, where a lot of people I know had so many bugs, they hated that mission because it didn't feel in any way fluid to them. And that's the way it works. That's how it works. It's just like when you're watching a movie that's not edited correctly and you think the movie isn't very good. That's okay. That is, to you, the quality of that movie. And that is how bugs can affect the quality or perceived quality of a game. And that'll bring us to perceived quality of Fun Factor. Fun Factor is not related to graphics. I know a lot of people are like, the glitz and the glamour. That's great. Not for me. The glitz and the glamour are there, but when you're playing, that's what matters. And for me, this game drops the ball severely due to two things. Immersion due to cut moments. There is a ton cut, and you can tell regardless if we knew this game was coming out with a bunch of content otherwise, as well as the bugs. Every single thing I enjoyed is hurt. For example, the combat, I really enjoyed the moments that, well, it was enjoyable. It was fun. It was visceral. And then I realized the AI was absolute shit. You have to coddle, by the way, coddle the AI and basically do things that you really probably wouldn't need to do just to get it to be a challenge. Also, the game's rendition of this bustling city, it's incredible until you realize no one does anything in the city at all. They just walk around and disappear the moment you look away. These are things that, by the way, were complaints in open world games prior to GTA. Now, I don't want to compare this too much to GTA because GTA does a ton of different world stuff and not as much role-playing stuff. But when you look at Cyberpunk, it's not even really doing as much role-playing stuff as I was hoping it would do. And what I mean by that is a role. I want to play a role in a game and have that sort of impact the world in some way. It really doesn't. It never really felt that way. It's also hampered by a lot of just cut moments. It's the lack of choice in your life path. That life path was sold to us as something that really mattered. It doesn't really matter in the actual gameplay itself. I was expecting to have multiple places where if you were a particular kind of character, multiple places or avenues would be open to you. And because of the time frame this was released, they had to cut it. That's nobody's fault except for whoever decided to release this. But it is a reflection of what we got in the game. And it hurt my fun factor. So I'll just say this. It was fun at times, but it was almost always just waiting to absolutely fucking fall apart. The buggiest game since Unity by far. Bug after bug after bug, as well as that cut content, really hurt it. When you start looking at the mechanics of it all and the role playing, I like that. I did. I thought that was enjoyable, but this thing is not ready, man. It's not ready for anybody. And you look anywhere and you can see that. So as you guys know, I rate games. Buy, wait for sale, rent, never touch. Rent being replaced by deep, deep sale for PC titles if I give it that score. But I ain't giving it that score. Hell no. This thing is not ready. This thing is so not ready that Sony pulled it off their shelves. By the way, only Afro Samurai has that kind of like clout. I think they got pulled off of Steam's. Also, Microsoft stated full refunds, just absolute refunds. GameSpot has stated, hey, or has been, I guess, now told their managers, hey, full case open, doesn't matter. We'll give full refunds if somebody asks. The game is not ready. And you may have had a better experience, whatever. But as somebody here who I have to state, if I think something is monetarily worth it, fuck that. There are so many games out there that are actually working and don't appear like this shit show. Let it sit for a while. I'm not going to say wait for a patch because you never know if patch number one will fix all your stuff or if it's going to require patch two or three. At that point, you'd just be like, wait until it's fully fucking patched and they stop patching before you buy it. Here, though, I'm going to say don't get it right now. Just don't. Hold off until you hear more about it. They are gone, by the way. They have basically stated that that one patch that they did is it, and they won't be back until January. So what you get is what you get. And at least for me, technically, unfucking acceptable. What's also unacceptable is the length of this review, so I'm going to cut it out here. Thumbs up if you like it. Thumbs down if you didn't. Check out Patreon. Oh, by the way, I will say, as somebody who has reviewed games for 6-7 years and looked at these, to see this game so readily eclipse in issues, true tangible issues, above Unity is shocking. And I think that's something that we will be talking about for a year, 2 years to come. Not only because it's a buggy game, but because it's CD Projekt Red, who for a lot of people thought that kind of stuff wouldn't happen, even though Witcher was somewhat buggy. On the other hand, if you ever hear somebody say, well, Witcher did that, you can just say, well, that was 6-7 years ago. Do you expect a game coming out currently to just be as good as 6 or 7 years ago? Because if we all didn't have to improve, man, what a good life that'd be. That's it for me. Peace out. Enjoy the rest of your week.